Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to The Mike O'Mara Show. We are enjoying our second decade of the show that has become a daily routine for thousands of listeners in great places like Cass, West Virginia. I don't know whether that's named after Mama Cass or not. Lahaina, Hawaii. Mm-hmm. I've been there. I've been to that town. Bumped into somebody from Washington there who was a listener.
How weird is that?
I'll never forget it. It was incredibly gratifying. Yeah. I remember saying, hey, Mike, I hear from across the street. There's somebody from Northern Virginia.
Hi, Mike.
In Hawaii. No. Drunk. York Springs, Pennsylvania, Nampa, Ohio. I'm sorry, Idaho.
Idaho.
I'll get it right. Hooksett, New Hampshire. And Charleroi, Belgium. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now. And I have to say, Rob, we were a little surprised when our boy here laid that on us right at the end of our little pre-show meeting.
Sure.
That I didn't know he was scheduling a doctor's visit. I had absolutely no idea.
Of course.
But, you got your physical yesterday. Is this a full bend over Mr. Babar physical?
Well, that's what I was... You know, one can dream, Mike. Apparently, I'm not at that age yet where you bend over.
Oh, you can if you tip.
But I did ask for it. I said, do we got to go down there?
No, you get a prostate exam when you're 40.
Of course you do.
My doctor said no. I was shocked by that.
All right, let me look it up. Go ahead, continue. But yeah, I'm thrilled that you got your physical.
Thank you. So I went. So the awkward part was two things. She said, what has caused your weight gain? And I said, have you ever been to WandaFarmer.com? And I said, doctor.
Here you go, Oscar.
Here it is. Olivia John, everybody.
That's enough of that.
I don't know if you all have this.
At age 50. There right? you go. The discussion about screening should take place at age 50 for men who are at average risk of prostate cancer. So that's it.
Well, maybe it is, 50. Mike, that since you and I have had stomach issues in the past, maybe that is why they accelerated that process for us.
Well, in my case, I don't know, Rob, you're newly 50, and I am, I've been around for a very long time, so I may not have remembered not getting it until 50.
Well, because of
I really don't know.
Our shared past, I know we've all had our stomachs explode at one point or another, and I think my prostate exam was at 40.
We'll get back to you because we have more maladies than you do.
Oh, sure,
we'll
sure.
get back to you in just a second, but if I can digress a little bit.
Yeah.
The most exquisite pain, and I've been in pain with a variety of orthopedic injuries.
I cannot wait to see where this goes with that setup.
The most exquisite pain for anybody that's had a condition that I have called diverticulitis.
Yep.
A condition that I was battling last week and into this week a little bit. I'm pretty excited because I believe I've got a person that's giving me kind of a home remedy that works very, very effectively, and I'm able to move out of that as time goes by. So, and I think I'm successfully doing that. So really happy about that. Simple fix. I won't discuss it here. I will tell you, though, at one point when I had what's called a flare, and that's exactly what it is. It's like somebody taking
like a solar flare
mm-hmm. in your lower abdomen and going inside of your insides and lighting the flare. It's that painful. It's really painful. Mm-hmm. It's an acute little pocket of weak tissue that gets inflamed and irritated, and it causes abdominal distress, and it's horrible. And then it kind of makes the entire area around it very sensitive. So, and it's inside your gut. And right. imagine that pain. I remember I had one of these, and they wanted to get an image of what was going on down there. And I had to go get, I believe it was some sort of MRI, CAT scan MRI deal. And I had to get it. And they had to pump up this stuff into me from the other end. Mm. And I had to hold it. And I have never, ever been in more agony than I was. Not letting go, because if I let go, it would let go. It was the most exquisite pain. Anyway, that's my stomach. But I don't remember when a doctor started putting his finger there.
I honestly thought it was once you get into closer to your mid-40s. That's something you asked for.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Mind you, I go and
age 45 for men at high risk for developing prostate cancer. You're not at high risk, are you?
Well, I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I'm a podcaster. So I said to my...
And you can quote him.
I said to my doctor, I'm just here to pick up scripts. I thought I was there just to pick up scripts. She goes, no, you need a physical. It'll be quick. So I go into waiting room A, and I put on the little gown, and she walks in, knocks on the door, walks in. She's like, what are you doing? I said, oh, I thought we were going to do everything. And she said, oh, no, you can put your clothes back on.
You have a female general practitioner?
Yes. I've had her for over a decade.
And you were naked in the room?
Well, with the little piece of, with the napkin that they give you to put on, the robe.
You think she might have misinterpreted it as an advance?
No. I just felt like a rube because I got completely nude underneath this piece of plastic.
Understood,
right?
Yeah.
Well, they gave you the plastic robe to wear, right?
The nurse practitioner said, you can just jump up on there, which is that...
The table.
The table with the what looks like wax paper. Across.
Yeah, it's a vinyl table with butcher's paper on it, essentially.
I saw a robe.
Butcher's paper.
It is butcher's paper. She's
absolutely right. What are you, 90? I swear to God.
He's absolutely right.
Butcher's paper.
Well, it's a big roll of white paper. It's what it looks like to me.
It's right next to the apothecary.
That's right.
There we go. That's it.
We can cure you with twine.
I want to be clear on one thing. Did you, is somebody texting you right now?
No, I just want to see the notification. That's all it was.
Okay.
I'm being too loud. My watch told me I'm being too loud.
You're being too...
Seriously, that's an Apple Watch thing? No wonder I can't have an Apple Watch.
My question for you is this. So a nurse told you hop up on the table.
Yeah.
You was there a robe handy? Was there a folded robe?
There was three robes in plastic hanging...
There were three robes.
There were three robes hanging on hooks with plastic over them.
Right.
So I was like, all right, I'll grab one of these guys, throw them on.
So you made an assumption. You made the jump that you hop up on the table in the robe naked... with just a rope.
Because I thought we were going Super Mario Brothers, checking the plumbing, doing all kinds of things. I prepared myself mentally.
Yeah, Mike, and remember, robes can be open.
Right.
If need be.
I get it.
Yeah, in the back.
Yes. Oh, that kind of.
Put them on back.
I'm still, flashing back to that urologist assistant that, did the whole deal on me. I think maybe she might have been a cleaning lady that just happened to pop into the room.
Are you still in touch with her?
No.
Sorry to hear that.
No, I never went back to that guy because that guy was an F up. I didn't have anything to do with it.
So she says, let's go check your weight. You don't have to put your clothes on for that. So I'm like, all right, maybe I'll shed 5 pounds worth of clothes.
Good. That's a good thing.
Always.
So I wish that the entire medical field would change the way that they weigh you to a digital scale. Because then you don't have to go through it's not even trauma. It's... Just
is it the slidey things?
The pain of the sliding scale of them they keep on pushing.
Well, yeah,
pushing.
And I also think that really getting back to the naked thing, I've always weighed myself with a pair of boxer shorts and nothing else. I don't have shoes or anything in my pockets or heavy, incredibly heavy 60-pound shirts on.
Yeah, I take out my fillings.
But I mean, when you weigh yourself, Oscar, how do you, what do you normally weigh yourself in the morning?
Yes, in my underwear, just like anybody else does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When do you weigh yourself, Rob, in your underwear in the morning?
In 2012. No, if I were to weigh myself, it would be in the morning in the bathroom, either in underwear or it may be even au naturel because you're about to shower.
Oh, because you sleep that way too.
Of course.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You sleep naked?
Yes, gross. I do, ladies.
Oh my God! So what's this mark on this sheet? So we all do that. So my point is, hey doctors, come on! You know you're not getting a real reading of the person's weight.
My
in my
true
opinion.
Takeaway is they're stuck in their ways. What they could do is get a digital scale, calibrate it to each of their patients, so that they can just it shoots right to some sort of medical app that can keep track from every time instead of going with your number two pencil, writing down the digits to look busy.
I bet they could.
Come on.
I bet they could arrange it where they know you're coming in. You step on the scale, and it just gives you a plus or minus of where you were from last time.
I don't mind seeing the number.
Well, that's just diverting you from the reality of what the weight should be.
I don't like. I tell her I was like I'm about 210. Like last time I weighed myself, it was 210, maybe 209 with this.
But some of the offices do have a digital scale.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe mine is low rent. Because
or high class or old school.
A great doctor's office.
Great.
You can tell right away when you walk into the lock.
I went to the doctor's office, and it was a great one.
Mine is middle of the road because they were convenient, and she had late hours. That's the only reason
I think my general practitioner has a digital scale. An office, my sleep doctor the other day had the sliding scale. And if you want to know what kind of Rob has the one that you see at the front of the grocery store that he maxed out at in 2011. Sir,
You can make fun if you like, but does your doctor give you your fortune when he weighs you?
Michael jumped on the scale coming out of the Publix the other day. Yes. And he's like, Dad, you get on. It's like, no. And I see the top. Yeah. I see the top one. By the way, I'm under the 3 bill mark, but mm-hmm. I still see the, and I'm fully clothed. I don't even want to have that embarrassment. I don't want to be that close. He said, Dad, get on the scale. No, Dad, come on. Dad said, no, I don't want it. No, Dad, come on. No. I gave him the Satan voice.
Get in the car.
Come on. I gave him Dikembe Mutombo.
No, no, no. Not in my house.
Come on, son. Let's listen to
that. I love their redoing that commercial. Oh, One of my favorite all time.
My favorite is the kid with the cereal. Yeah. When he tosses the cereal in the
car, explodes.
Yes,
and it explodes.
No, no, no,
no, no, no.
The Kimby Mutombo. My
true takeaway is this: is that you don't need to get your plumbing checked until later in life, as she told me. She said you're not ready for that yet.
That's true. I just read it.
All right, no problem. I'll get dressed and blood pressure 120 over 78. That's not terrible.
That's textbook. That's perfect.
Was there a little disappointment? Was there a little disappointment?
Well, I thought it'd be great for the show, Mike, but, you know, this is what we get.
And 500 said, over 300.
This is so inappropriate to have this discussion, but we have to. No, you said she has been for about a decade. Can you give me a rough estimate of the age?
It could be 15 years. I'm not sure. Okay. She's a little older than me.
Here we are.
Wow. So
it's a family practice. I started with her mom, and then it went to her daughter. Is the daughter. So, you know, she said that she can't wait to try. Like, we have chit chat. She's attractive.
Is she Latin?
No, she's not Latin. Okay. She's I think she might be from Pakistan, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. Super sweet. She did say this in the nicest way possible. She said, "What would you attribute your weight gain to?" And I gave her the WandaFarmer.com. She laughed. She goes, "What would you really want? Why would you really want to gain what is roughly 15 pounds since the last time I saw her?" And I said, "Well, doctor, I saw on the nightly news that 50% of Americans have gained at least 30 pounds because they've been at home.
The pandemic.
The pandemic.
You've heard about it, right? It's in all the papers."
She said, "Okay, we're going to see you in 3 months, and I expect this weight to be off." And I said, "You got it." And I stomped on out. And I said, "Thanks for the scripts. I'm out." But no statins, no blood pressure.
How's the
medicine.
Gut? How's the belly doing? How's the tummy doing?
It's good, Mike. It's good.
It's good. You had some ulcer things, right?
Under control, no problem.
That makes me feel good. That means you're comfortable in your work environment. Yeah. You're not ridiculously stressed.
Life is great.
That's a good thing. Yeah. That's wonderful. Any other, what about the venereal disease? Under control?
No, and I did notice there was a chart in the doctor's office that they call it venereal infections now instead of disease.
Fun to read, too.
So I'm sitting there reading it while I'm waiting, and I wonder, I was like, do people even call it VD anymore, or do they just call it sexually transmitted infections, STIs?
Are they not even STDs anymore?
I don't know if they do, and I didn't want to have that conversation with my doctor because I thought that'd be awkward.
Oh, don't change that. That was fun. STD.
STIs.
Was, you don't want to get an STD. I finally got used to that one instead of, the painful drip, drip, drip of gonorrhea.
Oh, when I was a boy, when they say, "Oh, you're going to get the clap."
The clap?
Yeah.
Was the clap gonorrhea?
The clap was gonorrhea, yeah.
The clap was gonorrhea. I remember we had a DJ that we work with. We tell this story every time forever that was proud of the fact that he had the clap.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like that somehow indicated that he had sex with someone, although that someone happened to be dirty enough to give him the clap.
Yeah.
That was nasty.
My policy is always, is if you get the clap, you really deserve a refund.
The clap.
The clap.
STIs there's a line.
Sounds too controlled. STDs.
I like STD sounds more insidious.
STI sounds like a Subaru.
Yeah, absolutely.
Doesn't it?
The new Volkswagen STI, now with more horsepower.
Oh, that was
is there an
car.
STI?
Yes, there is. The Subaru WRX STI, and it was super embarrassing.
STD is what it should
be. Yeah, it should be.
I agree, you know, but the chart screamed STIs.
Mm-hmm. By the way, in the an ancient movie called The Big Chill, when a lot of great actors, Kevin Kline included, were babies, Jeff Goldblum, baby actors. You want to go see? Want to see a great movie?
Glenn Close,
not a coming of age, but a an entering real adulthood movie.
It kind of launched the whole baby boomer as a movement type thing. Because remember, that was the first popular soundtrack that was oldies oriented from that era. It was a good movie.
And really a great movie. And the movie holds up. I think it's right. There's a line in the movie where Jo Beth Williams is talking about her husband and how she doesn't worry about her husband cheating on him. And you say, well, is he religious that way? It's something that, why wouldn't he cheat on you? Is it religion? Is it because he's afraid of you? No. Fear of STDs. Oh, fear of herpes. Fear of herpes.
Herpes, yes, that's right.
That's why he wouldn't do that. I may have had, I don't think it was irrational. But I think that in my formative sexual awakening, I may have had a true terror of herpes. Like if anybody would even, but mine. You have to understand. It was obsessed. Okay. It was obsessed. I'd be shaving and I'd get a little bump and stuff. And what is that? What is that? Who was I with? Who could have done? She looked fine. All I did was kiss her. Could I get it off a toothbrush? It was very. It was a little disconcerting with that. But they have an office thing with the STDs,
on
STIs
the chart,
in the office.
Well, they had one that showed the reproductive systems.
Yeah, that's always medical posters, Mike.
STIs.
I don't like medical. What the medical poster I hate the most is the faces 1 to 10. Tell me how much it hurts.
Yeah,
oh, that's a stupid scale. That is the worst scale in the world.
My general practitioner, and this is not meant to be, stereotypical, but have you ever seen in the movies, Mike, that there's like a bazaar?
When you say stereotypical,
it's like an outdoor market, like anything, or how about this? This is probably better. Have you ever been to a Starbucks bulletin board when Starbucks was actually, you could walk into one and the bulletin board is covered with stuff?
Sure, yeah.
Community bulletin board.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I think they don't say no at my doctor's office to any medical posters. They get them. They put them up.
Any framed artwork or mostly just free stuff from the drug company?
Free stuff.
Yeah, sure.
Free stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Free stuff. And another tell for your doctor's office, if I may, Mike.
Yes.
The quality of television they have in the lobby. And my wonderful doctor, who's affordable, she has an insignia. And I judge her every time I walk in.
How big?
It's probably 42 inches, not big.
At least it's not ridiculously small.
No, but it's an insignia. You might as well have a Westinghouse and scream, I don't care about my practice.
By the way, why do doctors and dentists feel as though putting on the Home Improvement channel is the only thing that we want to watch in the doctor's office? I mean, we've become so divided as a society. It used to be the news would be on.
Yeah.
And then it became, you have to either put Fox or CNN and it's going to piss somebody off.
Sure.
So now they have DIY all the time. I'm watching these horrible shows about that.
I have antidepressant commercials running on mine the entire time. It's like on a loop. I think it was provided by a pharmacist.
Oh, you're kidding. So even their television is provided by the drug company.
It screams, don't jump.
I was at I had an oil change this weekend, and in the waiting room, they had...
Is that at the doctor's office?
Well, they had Cinemax on. I thought that was nice.
Skinemax. By the way, which isn't... excuse me, I get them all because I still have the company pay for them.
Right.
Skinemax is no longer Skinemax. When did Skinemax stop being Skinemax?
We had a story a year and a half or 2 years ago where they said there's so much real porn available for free that they don't,
once the
they don't focus
came around,
on it. Yeah.
Mike. Look, a friend of mine said to me, Schmeichel Schmira said, you can never have enough.
Oscar, don't refer to Pornhub as the hub because you will confuse me with a classic furniture store from the Washington, D.C. area.
I remember the hub.
The hub, yes.
Last
can I throw one thing out, Oscar,
please.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but regarding the hub, I have no idea the ages of these people that are content generators on these particular websites, but... little message from me to Nicole Aniston. Would it kill you to maybe generate a little new content? All right. That's all. Go ahead. I just thought I'd throw it out.
What if there's a merry mix-up?
Oscar Fantana, when he was a true deviant and he had a subscription to the Premium Hub, he says that's where Nicole Aniston puts out her new content.
Oh, so I still filter that. And Mike, what, he said. What if there's a merry mix-up and Nicole Aniston shows up on the Friends reunion? Just like a paperwork.
You're obsessed with that.
A ratings bonanza, I'll tell you that much.
I know Oscar would be tuning in.
Mike, the last insult to insults. And look, I'm not going anywhere. My doctors, they're in Kensington. There's so many reasons why my doctor is inconvenient
England?
To me in my life. Kensington, Maryland.
Oh, okay.
Because it was close to Olney. I'm sure I went to her because I lived at my parents' house and it was next to my dentist.
When he gets to the doctor, he has to go to Kensington on Thames.
I still try to train both of you boys to speak to a national audience. I always try to. Old habits die hard.
I'm sorry. Apologize.
Yes, go ahead.
Outside the Beltway. Not close. 40 minutes outside the city. I go to pay for my copay and I take my phone to their little credit card machine because I'm trying to pay with my phone.
Yeah.
And she says, oh, we don't take smart pay. And I sat there and I was like, you got an Insignia, in my mind, you got an Insignia, a Westinghouse, whatever it may be up there. And then you've got no Apple Pay. Like, we've been in a pandemic forever. How are you doing this? What's going on? I judge
them. So you need them to update. You want them to update a little bit.
Now, will I write a letter to let them know that maybe they got to step up their game? No chance. I'll just let them know through this platform.
Yes.
Is this the office manager's responsibility, the person that's running that front desk, or is it the doctor themselves?
I think it's both, because they also have a bit. This is what screams quality healthcare, people. When you have a piece of tape across your credit card machine and it reminds the person that's running the credit card, no Amex, in big, bold letters.
Oh, that's 1980, baby.
Classy.
That's pre-19. That's
classy.
Really. I mean, I get the whole Amex. See, that would be problematic. I mean, of all the businesses that maybe should take all the cards,
you're troubled by the fact that they don't accept Amex. Oscar and I are troubled by the fact that it's on a piece of tape.
A label maker? Something.
Yeah. Dyno.
Since we're on the subject, quality of furniture. Everybody goes to the doctor can relate to this. Quality of furniture in the... By the way, because I went to my sleep doctor the other day.
Yep.
Kind of like, nice furniture, but it looks like they got it out of a thrift shop.
Mm-hmm.
They look like maybe, and
mismatched?
I mean, big leather, sort of semi, but leather.
Okay.
But it was semi mismatched. And then the walls were really barren. And then you go to the dentist that we just blew off. And it looks like Architectural Digest just sent somebody in to do that.
Yes.
Where is your general practitioner on the scale of this? What's in the office?
Oh, what's that? Okay, the Bob's Furniture. This is a local. It might be national. I don't know, but at least local.
I think it is national. But
they have something called the Pit, where you get the dent and scratch furniture.
Mm-hmm.
The furniture she has is one rung below. Again, fine before the pandemic, post-pandemic, I want something that looks clean all the time.
I get it.
So
yeah, I get it.
I kid you not, when I get up off the chair, as I've rested my hands on the arms of this old chair, I go up and pump, pump, clean my hands before I walk into the doctor's office.
Because it looks dirty.
Yes.
And also keep in mind, unless it's like a pediatrician's where they have a sick side and a well side waiting room,
which can also be dirty.
Yeah, but you're intermingling with sick people. That's why they go to the doctor.
Well, and I think that when they go to doctor business school, when the doctors get done with all the medicine and they're, you know, how to actually make money being a doctor.
Yeah,
I think the first day they say, now whatever you do, you're going to want to resist the urge to have a lobby that looks really clean and comfortable. Because everyone, how many, really, even expensive doctors, a lot of times it's obviously an afterthought. It's
kind of course.
Well, you know what? My old colon doctor, that doctor had a 10.
Well, you're going to need
office.
A lot of cushioning for those patients.
Yeah, and when I went into that office, I would always smell the seats. It's terrible. It's disgusting. I just grossed myself out.
I think that the doctors, they learn how to take blood pressure, then they teach them to buy chairs that bolt together. That's what doctors love.
I think they go for the cheap.
And of course they do.
Most, if you did a survey It would be a great survey, by the way.
A great
quality
one.
Of doctor, or take pictures and say this one, this one, mm-hmm. this one. I think it ought to be more of a thing. They make enough money to.
Okay,
do
so
that.
Let's. So that's all the bad. The one glaring and I say over the top good was as soon as I sat down, my doctor's office, which is. If you're looking for a grading of like scale of doctor, a solid C.
Okay.
Always available. Always can get in. Fine.
Good.
High
praise.
They said, I sat down. They said, oh, do you need the vaccine? And I said, I'm already one shot in. They're like, we just got a full shipment today.
We're
which
winning.
Made me
that's,
feel
that's
so good.
Because
if my C grade, terrible furniture, Insignia Westinghouse TV doctor is getting that type of service and access.
They're winning. General regular doctors are getting them. It's going to be a big deal.
Amazing.
And that is exciting to me. That is great
the
news.
Problem
that's fantastic.
With Oscar's doctor, though, they got a lot of vaccine, but only one syringe. It's a glass syringe, and you have to share it.
Yeah,
they sanitize.
By the way, my last, I will always remember 2020 would be the year of the video. Most of my meetings with my doctor have been, in fact, all of them have been via teleconference.
Yeah.
That's the way they do. You know, when he's telling me about the sugars, how to get out of the sugars, you know. So I would hope that during this time, he may have taken the opportunity because he has another, that's a threadbare office too, you know. By the way, any business. And I say this having been a retail business
and a
owner,
restaurateur,
right
in the bar business. I will tell you this: one of the first things I did, I de-taped the business.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing in your office should be put up with Scotch tape.
Agreed.
Scotch tape
True.
Is not designed to put up pictures or posters. And there are plenty of them that just put tape on the wall. It mm-hmm. sucks.
Mm-hmm.
It's like saying we are cheap F's that don't care. That's why we put it up there. Yeah. It does. By the way, the effort, you know what? I hate to use her as an example because yes, it's one little room that she's got.
Yes.
But my God, you walk into my wife's esthetician room
mm-hmm.
where you're going to get your facial. First of all, you could eat off the floor. And secondly, everything. Every single teeny tiny little chair and poster
mm-hmm.
and little inspiring quote and wooden clock or whatever, everything has been meticulously designed. There's no reason not to, you know. But I mean, Scotch tape on the wall, you might as well say, hey, we decided we tape some disease to the wall for you in your doctor's office. Let's do that. And by the way, oh, no need to replace that chair where Junior decided to write on it with pen. That doesn't matter at all. It's terrible. And I understand. And look, even though it's the medical profession, there's no guarantee that they're making money hand over fist.
No,
true.
Not necessarily.
I'm empathetic to small business, and especially if you own your own
right.
practice. It's not like you're going to Kaiser. It's mm-hmm. just someone that
right.
a family practice. But I think putting about 15 years into this family, you think they would have rolled to Costco on a holiday TV buy and said, you know, let's upgrade this one guy because it speaks volumes of who we are.
Almost, right. you know, better to have no TV than a lousy TV. You know, put out some magazines.
What's the best way to put this? There is a frame around the TV that says, excuse me, allergies, hopefully, and that says, this television provided by whatever pharmacy in paper. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, why would that pharmacist want to advertise this terrible television's been up here?
Just like
the same video.
Just like Jimmy's at the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Yeah.
This TV provided by Rent-A-Center.
It just seemed weird because I'm like, why would you even put something up?
Yeah, they traded
it. Maybe they're getting paid for it. Who knows?
It's better than Dr. Preble, okay? Dr. Preble back in the day, all right? Doctor, there were no TVs when I was a kid getting my allergy shots. There were no TVs. And the best thing about Dr. Preble is Dr. Preble had giant horned rim glasses. They look like they weighed 70 pounds hanging on his nose. And he's a big, tall guy. And he had graying hair that he slicked back with Vitalis.
Oh.
And he would come in there and he would burst in. That it was the greatest thing in the
white
world.
Coat.
I loved it. He made entrances like you'd get the. Let me see if I can give a knock sound. It'd
right.
be like, it'd be the quick knock and then the exploding door. It'd be like. Boom, door opens. Hello, young people. Every single time Dr. Preble did that. Every single quick knock,
That's cool.
Hello, young people. And then, you know, all I know is he had a hot nurse at the front, and somehow she became like his number one assistant. And then they got married. Yeah. Then they got married.
Oh, was there a Miss Preble?
Evolution of such.
Was there a Mrs. Preble before that?
Yeah, there was a Mrs. Preble. That might have worked in the office too. I think that was his like farm system. I think that's what he did when he was doing his doctrine. You know,
PHARM system.
Yeah, Dr. Preble, Dr. Novi, dentist. Mm-hmm. Dr. Preble, good guy, house calls, the whole nine yards.
Wow.
Brought me up. No pediatrician thing. He was my doctor forever. Dr. Novi, I think, played with people's minds while he had the antique drill in the office when you walked in to get your tooth examined. Your tooth examined? Did I just say
that's,
your tooth examined?
Fine.
I can't wait till my doctor.
Then there was my brain doctor.
He was good too.
I was thinking, what if I get a call and then I'm fired as a patient? I start thinking, because of doing this? Well, it's funny because I literally have never railed on this. I just felt coming out of a pandemic. And I sat there, I'm like, if you're getting the vaccine, and we're like C grade doctors here, let's be honest.
C grade.
I'm fine with, like, fine, but it just...
You'd rather get it from your doctor than get it from the drugstore, in my opinion.
Of course.
I'm getting mine at the drugstore.
Of course.
Tomorrow,
great for the vaccine. Congratulations. Yeah. Great for the vaccine. Super excited that everybody's getting it, which means...
And congratulations
we're on the right path.
To Katie Forbes and her husband, Dan, who still managed to look like he was going to throw up after he got the vaccine shot. Did you see that screenshot?
He looks like that all the time.
Does he always look like that? Does he always have that expression on his face?
He does.
I am a suffering man. Yeah. That's what it was.
I mentioned yesterday, I think Robert got his first vaccine yesterday, right? He got the Pfizer at the big mega center in Loudoun County. So all of our family is on the way now, which is awesome.
Oh, he didn't get it at Fireworks Pizza?
he got the fireworks.
We got to take a break. Anyway, so you're healthy? Is that the
bottom line?
That's good.
For at least another decade, Mike. We're good.
That is wonderful. And doctors, you know, up the game a little bit. You can get used furniture.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or get
something from your house.
Bring it from your home.
Yes.
From your home.
Bring it. Use the chair that grandma farted in. That's fine. Patients won't mind. We'll be right back.
Hey, y'all. I'm Luke Bryan.
Hi, America. This is Luke Bryan, and I won't be satisfied till I get every one of your redneck dollars in my wallet.
I'm here with Katy Perry, Lionel Richie, and he wears real tiny little jackets.
This is going to work, right? I mean, this is going to be good. Right?
I make my own beer. It tastes like...
Take it from country music doofus Luke Bryan.
Hi, this is Luke Bryan.
And I never shave my neck.
From shiny new licorice hats to red Solo cups.
I've got goose flesh.
The Mike O'Mara Shopping Center has got you covered for all your hillbilly shopping needs.
Golly.
Just click the shopping center banner at MikeOMaraShow.com. Ain't that right, Luke?
That dang old internet, man. Click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana, and now, the best of O'Mara.
Hey, thanks for listening to the best of the O'Mara Show, and I want to take a moment to remind you that the Fed has taken a more aggressive stance and announced that at least 2 interest rate hikes are likely in the future to offset inflationary concerns. Well, what does this mean to you? Well, whether it's a purchase or a refinance, the time to act is now. You need to call my friend Mark Livingstone and his team at Cornerstone First Financial. So even if you're working with another company, you can use Cornerstone as a sounding board to make sure you're getting the best deal for you and your family. I mean, after all, they're a direct lender. That means they have their own money. That's how they can guarantee to meet or beat any competitor. Cornerstone First is closing purchases in as little as 3 weeks. That can help you differentiate yourself from other buyers, which in this competitive market can make a big difference between getting the home you want or not getting a home at all. The current ultra-low rates will ultimately go up, and with 20 years in the business and a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau, why would you call anyone else? Don't be stupid. Please, be smart. Call the professionals at Cornerstone First. They're standing by now at 202-625-1221. That's 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. Call now. Cornerstone First Financial. Personal attention from application to closing. And now... back to the best of O'Mara.
I decided yesterday, after the dust settled, and by the way, I'm sorry about moving that microphone, but after the dust settled with Florida, and I determined that I will have a home to go to.
And still all good news down there for you, right?
It's good news for me that the house is okay. It's not necessarily great news for people in the state of Florida that are still dealing with a tremendous flooding situation, including the one that
Chad Myers at CNN really didn't talk about that much when he was too busy hyping the fact that Chris Cuomo was going to be up to his ass in water in Naples,
right,
which never happened, when the fact is they didn't call the fact that Jacksonville was going to be slammed with flooding. But the people that I my heart goes out to, and we're gonna get our act together here at TMOS and figure out a way that we can get a website link. And I just want to make sure I find out from the people down there what they really need before I start mentioning it. But I'd like to do something for the people there. There's a telethon tonight we'll tell you about. The people in the Keys, anybody who's ever been to the Keys, you look left, there's water. You look right, there's water. They were pretty well decimated. They still don't know if the bridges are structurally sound to get down there. Basically a two-lane road that goes in there. And just cool people. Oscar's been down there a bunch of times. Salt of the earth kind of people. And the people that are still suffering, and I think with this power situation, that's what we're all keeping our eyes on now, because the power is such a significant situation, especially when you consider the heat that they're dealing with and the humidity that they're dealing with right now. That's the tough part. And for people that are close to me, including the lady that watches my son, basically a member of our family, Carmen, down there, I just want to see the power get back on as soon as possible. You know, you watch these guys that work for the power companies, these PR pros.
Sure.
And I get a little shaky about what's really going down and what's going to happen. Haven't gotten, not only haven't they gotten the power back on in South Florida, but they really are not clear on exactly when it's going to happen. And that's a scary situation for people down there. But when you consider the fact that this hurricane bisected the state and caused as much damage as it did, you're hearing a lot more people feel grateful than feel as though the disaster's hit. And for that, you have to be thankful. You you ultimately have to be thankful that things worked out. And that's the way I
feel.
But
it's a weird situation, because with the hurricane, it was a timed event that no one had any control over.
Right.
And now you're going to look, and I think you, we discussed this before the show, you're going to look at a lot of, oh yeah, one more day. One more day
yeah,
before they get it done.
And I'm not in any position. I'm comfortable, and I'm up here in Northern Virginia staying with my mom-in-law. And the fact is that I've been able to watch this from afar, and I want to do two things. I want to make sure that I go back to the state when I am told to go back, when
right.
it is appropriate to go back, and that, you know, with people that are desperate for infrastructure to be improved and for gasoline and for power. And they're both sources of power, but the fact is that's what they need right now down there. They need fuel, and they need the electrical grid to come back on. And when you're living through something like this, you look at the media coverage as it begins to wane, which it will in the coming days. You're going to see how are they doing with the infrastructure, with the power grid down there, which was suspect on the West Coast where I live. So I'm waiting like everybody is right now. You know, you see good signs where you can get them, like the grocery store down the road from my house is open. And it's an amazing thing to be up here in Northern Virginia and be able to, like, get online and check different things out.
Right.
And stunning the way you can get information. The question is, down there, it might not be that way because you've got cell phone towers that have been knocked over as well. And I just want to see what's happening. And, you know, I've got a way of testing my equipment down there because an old technology boy over here, Oscar, gave me that webcam. And I'm pretty well sure that if
power
I've got,
comes back on, you'll be online.
You know, or maybe not. I mean, depending on how the internet and you know, the cable and all that is. So we'll see. But I'm you know, look, all things considered, I'm very, very happy that things worked out the way they did.
Is it fair to say that you'll be here for at least September?
No, I think it's fair to say that as soon as the power comes back on, I'm going to find out if I can get out of Dodge, and I'd like to get back down. I'd like to get down there for two reasons. I'd like to get down there because I want to do what I can do, you know, through my church group and everything like that, to help people in areas that maybe as far away as the Keys that have been really, really racked by this thing. And if you're down there, you can take your weekends and you can get down there and help people and figure out a way to do that.
Do you think you'll go down ahead of your wife and child?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Now, you know, so many unanswered questions
right,
when you don't know what the situation is.
I guess in my eyes, I think what you're doing now, especially because you're not 100% with your hips yet, is probably better than anything physical, right? Actually gets to put a message out there to people.
What?
You know, if you're going to go and help, I think of you with plywood and building stuff and
I know you're
saying
not.
That I'd hurt myself.
I'm just saying with you and actual.
Why does it always get back
physical
to that
activity?
You?
I mean,
I'm
probably
pretty, excuse me. I walked a mile down to Georgetown. I'm walked a mile back up the hill. Mm-hmm. I'm doing better than I am. I'm handling the fourth floor, location of my mother-in-law's condo in as good a way as I possibly can.
I take everything back. Hey, Omer, get the 2x4.
I'm doing okay.
Yeah. Can someone help me with this, please?
You know, they're saying that you don't want to overtax yourself.
No.
But,
we all use the toolbox that we are given, and yes. Your toolbox has a great voice.
Yes,
that you can get a message out.
I understand, Bruce.
Thank you, Bruce. Of course, Bruce.
I helped yesterday because I double-checked and triple-checked with my bride after we were done working here. I thought it was important to tap in to pop culture and make sure that I went out to see the hottest movie in cinema right now. And that, of course, is the movie It. Which I went to see because you know what? I bought into all the hype, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm here to tell you this is my review of the movie It. I think it lives up to the hype.
Really?
I think it was okay. Is it scary? No, it's not. It's not as scary as they said it was. It is a great kind of story. It's kind of
a great story. Would it be scarier if we hadn't already seen the story?
Here's what's let me give great you question. I think for the purposes of
can we break and then we can have your review
for explanation. I will tell you my definition of what really scares me in a movie, and I'm not telling you that it is not a good movie. I thought it was a good movie. I'll come back and tell you what I liked about it, what I didn't like about it, and I think it's a pretty decent flick. So we'll talk about that when we come back. Lots more fun and more thrills.
Hi, this is Jimmy Cerrito. I'm the king of the wings. Jimmy's Old Town Taverns, world famous buffalo wings, and the TMOS bonus show are two things that are worth paying for. If it's too tough for you to go to the MichaelMaraShow.com and click the bonus show button, then drop by Jimmy's and I'll teach you how to buy the bonus show. If you want to see the O'Mara's Pub wooden sign with your own two eyes, offer me a ride home. No, fuck it. I ain't doing it. Buy my buffalo wings and the bonus show. You will not be disappointed. No refunds. It'll be okay.
The best of O'Mara.
Well, I'll just have to wait. Getting back to the movie It. Yes. So I went out to the Alamo. Is it the Alamo Draft House?
That's what it's called right there in Ashburn. Mm-hmm.
Ultra modern, like everything out in Ashburn.
Where you had your big to-do with Patton, right?
That's where I had the most embarrassing moment in a movie theater when they said, oh, he had his cell phone on and it's ringing. Mm-hmm. And then I went to shut it off and I dropped it. And I was late for the screening anyway. And I was there with a celebrity, a major movie guy, Patton. By the way, Patton's found love.
Yes, he has.
Tough to get in touch with Patton. Mm-hmm. I don't correspond like I did.
He's in the honeymoon period.
Yeah, the honeymoon period right now. I reach out. I want to just get a little something.
Do you
back.
Remember, Oscar, when we were kids, the movie The Journey of Natty Gann?
No.
It was a depression.
Remember, you're older than me.
Well, yeah, but it sort of fell into your childhood as well.
It was probably in Bolivia.
Mm-hmm. Disney movie about a depression era young lady who went on an adventure with a pet wolf.
Mm-hmm.
Her name, I believe, is Meredith Salinger. That's his girlfriend.
Yeah,
now.
I'm happy for Patton, and I'd love to get him
she's
back on the show.
She's famous, too?
Sometime.
Yeah. Child shocking.
Yeah, and so the movie...
She's pretty.
Yes. The movie It is... as far as I'm concerned, scary is not necessarily CGI graphics that scare you.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the knocks on the movie It, and I don't want to give anybody, there's no spoiler alert. Everybody knows the
story.
Yeah,
there was a miniseries 25 years ago. Most people know the
clown did it.
But the clown, they don't let the clown have enough dialogue. They do too many special CGI effects with the clown. With that said, it still works because the CGI is pretty unique and innovative. But I would be one of the people that said, give the actor, excuse me, I hate doing that, give the actor that plays Pennywise, the clown, give him some more scary dialogue.
Peel back a layer, though, with the story, because Pennywise is only one manifestation of...
Yeah, there's several scary manifestations of the clown.
So do you think they need to rely more on the clown for more scares?
Yeah, I think you have more. You just have more of the clown being around and like being part of it. And
the first scene that I saw it online, the scene in the sewer.
The scene
pretty well done.
The opening scene may be the scariest scene. It's because it's this quiet dialogue, and I think I would have liked to see more of that. With that said, it's got kind of a overcome your fears storyline to it, and I liked it. I liked the movie, but with that said, there were parts of the movie, you know, that where the adults, there's kind of a pedophile, you know, sexual abuse thread in this with one of the young girls, which is kind of a, you know, horrible thing. But that's part of the book. That's, you know, I think, right?
Could they have excised it from the movie and the movie would have been okay?
I'm not going to nitpick because I think the movie overall was riveting. I thought it was entertaining and I did not check my watch. And it's a long movie.
Is it long, over 2 hours?
And I'm not sure. I didn't. I don't know exactly how long with trailers, how long the movie was. But I will tell you that it deserves the hype that it's getting because right now probably the best thing that's out there, and I enjoyed every minute of it. But what I didn't enjoy is when you are going to see a movie like It, which is about a clown murdering children, and you go to the theater on a Tuesday, on a Monday afternoon, and you see the Creep Patrol coming into the theater before you, you get a creep vibe. Because, by the way, anybody who looked at what I was wearing yesterday, I had sneakers, gym shorts, and
a trench coat,
and a gym t-shirt on yesterday, which when you know, when I come into the studio and I'm going to go right back home, it's not a big deal.
It's fine.
When I'm out in public, like, doing things, I look like somebody that might be driving around in a good humor truck and I don't have any ice cream.
You put yourself into a situation and sometimes it's because you're doing a favor for somebody. When you take a step out and look at yourself where you're at, you look like an amazing creep.
That's when you're moving or painting or doing something and you walk out of your house getting ready to get dirty, right?
Yeah, well, I only became aware of this is when I walked into Alamo, which is a different movie experience because they don't have concessions in the front. They have waiters.
They have a bar.
Waiters and waiters. But the actual box office is this tiny little area. So
just
it was
the desk,
me
yeah.
and a guy in front of me, another single guy that was buying a ticket, another middle-aged guy.
Had Monday afternoon off.
Had his Monday off, and he was a combination. The guy looked like, seriously, a combination of like Butterbean, Rofo, and John Wayne Gacy.
I'm guessing it's not the first time he saw the movie either.
It might
have been a return visit.
There is a way that certain individuals wear jeans that just screams, did I just get out of a mental institution? And
they're unaccustomed to denim.
And I mean, only because we're going in to see this movie and I'm really like looking at this guy up and down. And then he turns back around and he got his ticket and I'm right in back of him. And I don't know if I can articulate this. I have to communicate it with a look. He buys his ticket.
Right.
Like Oscar's me. Mm-hmm. Okay. So all I'm seeing is
back
his folds of flesh on the back of his head. And he buys his ticket, and he's got to shoot down towards where you are, Rob.
All right.
And he buys his ticket, and he gets his thing. Thank you. And he looks at me
he
like that.
He means you. Side-eyes you.
Side-eyed me.
Side-long glance.
Why are you siding at me? I'm just in the theater buying a ticket.
What he's doing?
You dick.
He's looking to make a connection.
Yeah. And then so I go in.
Do you like the pedophilia subplot? I like the pedophilia subplot.
It was creepy. It was weird. But the thing about it is, I don't know the rules at the Alamo Draft House. And the last time I was at the Alamo Draft House, I screwed up completely with the rules. So I go in paranoid to start with. They go in. You have a little computer screen. They show you. I said, what seat would you like? I'm like, and then suddenly I go into
panic mode.
The panic mode of choosing. You know, it's like, oh, well, there's so many open ones. It's a Monday after. I like that one. That's close to like when you first walk in. I said, well, what do you think's good? I'm such an idiot.
You asked that?
I'm a dope.
To the disinterested teenager?
Tell you, I was uncomfortable
What's
in the
best
environment.
In the house?
I was uncomfortable
in the
theater.
She has the most farts.
I don't know if you remember this, but I used to be something of a famous broadcaster.
I would love
to know what is the best seat.
I was uncomfortable. But I remember I said,
go for an aisle.
And then I picked an aisle seat.
Attaboy.
And then I said to the guy, I said, where are the concessions? And the guy looks at me and he goes, there's waiter service in there, sir. excuse me, I haven't been to your theater.
Did
I haven't been to your she theater.
Laugh when you asked for the concessions.
You moron. You really don't know where you are, do you?
so you could order popcorn.
He said they're waiter service, and I'm like, waiter. And so I hadn't had my lunchy lunch, and it's like 12. The movie starts at 12. It's like 12:10.
Okay.
So here I am late again.
Right.
Because I'm driving through Aspern and trying to find exactly where this place is.
But plenty of free parking at this theater.
It's such a weird wasteland of overdevelopment. But anyway, so I get out
there. My hometown.
And, it's like, how much new can they build? Tell me why they continue to build new, but they don't build real infrastructure for people
if there's demand,
to get from point A to point B.
Because the peep, Mike, it's big.
I know there's demand.
Yeah, but we can't build the roads. It's easier to build houses.
Yeah.
Well, there's no money in roads.
Developers, that is.
You sound, why do you sound like you're the developer?
Big developer.
We'll build the homes because of demand, but we don't need the roads. Harder to build. More expensive. Let them live inconveniently.
Too much red tape.
Do you know what it's all over again. It's what happened when they built FedEx Field. They found cheap land and they built a huge stadium and no roads to serve.
Yeah, they build the houses and the condos and the townhouses, mm-hmm. and they don't build. They build a two-lane road, mm-hmm. that goes in and out of it, and then they coagulate every drone on six lanes of and it's not adequate.
And they sit in their big office with their big feet up on their big desk, lighting cigars with $10 bills.
It's very, very frustrating. But I got out there, and when I sat down, I'm still.
Isn't it nice
awkward.
That one? I mean, look, all the BS aside,
yes.
that one loud. And shopping center is beautiful.
It's nice.
Well, I didn't get a chance to really experience it.
Oh, they have all these restaurants. You can sit outside.
Yeah, it looks like on a Friday night, it'd be a pretty cool place to be there.
Big space for a carnival if you need it.
It's it was fine. But I got in there. But they said, I go in and I'm like, oh, okay, they have waiter service. And I know, I remember from the last time I was there, I've been there three times. Once for patent screening, once to just go out on a date with my wife where we went there and got our eat on and had a great time. And I remember, oh, yeah, they have the good food here.
Yeah, they do.
And so I sit down and they have, a reclining seat. I'm told, right? They have reclining seats.
I believe they're more rockers. Like they can.
Nothing was rocking. I thought I saw a lady down the street that was reclined, and suddenly I go, and I don't want to be that guy because the trailers are on, but I'm like, where's the button?
Got to be a button.
Where's the button?
Is it on the side of your hip or?
I don't know.
You never found it?
Never found the button.
Oh no!
So hold on. I never find the button, and then I look and I'm like, okay. I think the guy said, yeah, you just write down what you want. And the waiter will come by and take that, and they'll bring you your food.
You put a little slip of paper. It's almost like in a railing.
Well, that's fine. And I found the, so I looked in front. I was like, okay, let me see what they've got. And I pull out a little piece of paper and said, place your order here. And what they, I don't see anything else. And I have a pencil, and I have a little, but I don't know what they're serving.
Oh, so you didn't,
I'm a rube.
You didn't,
I'm a total idiot.
Did
listen
you not
to me.
See the
I'm not
thick
experienced
menu?
With this overthought, smart Waze app theater
it's
that I'm in.
There's really, really like a menu
where
the size of
menu?
A like the
where?
Size of a
where
Rand McNally
where
atlas.
Where is it?
There's a shelf
where?
Under.
Yeah.
Yeah
there, where's the shelf, Rob?
Under the comp.
It's underneath.
Under
but
been
the
there
book
five,
is huge.
You've been hold on. You've been there 500 times. Where's the shelf? Hidden underneath the. It's hidden.
It's in its place.
And they don't want to hide it. They don't want to hide it from you. They want you to find. Find it and use it.
Well, no, but it's hidden under the table.
What you should have done is written on the little slip
dark.
Of paper.
It's dark.
Write on the slip of paper, help me.
Help
I require
me.
Assistance.
Help me. Let me out. I am afraid. Please help
Popcorn,
me.
Popcorn, please, sir.
And then I and but
my
the,
kingdom for a diet coke.
But the cool thing is you got a little light underneath.
Yeah but you and, know what? The light is inadequate.
No, I said the guy came by and I said, excuse me, do you have menus? And I got the second one of the
side eye.
Where another, not no, this wasn't side. This was more like giggle from the guy at the front.
Right.
And he goes, and he reaches like in one movement, goes,
ta da!
Oh, the hidden menu that I had.
Imagine
and then I look,
shelf.
And it's like 500 craft beers, and all of a sudden, and they have a little shrimp po' boy. And I said, that's pretty good for the fat man who's stress eating during Hurricane Irma. And so I ordered the shrimp po' boy. And I said, you just write down your order and you place it up in the. And he's off. I'm like, place it what? Place it where? Where do I place it? And because I don't want to, I've got people directly in back of me. So I don't want to go, it's like, it's eaten. It's eating time in your little conjuring, your little fun theater. How about just a concession stand? Give me some nachos. Let me sit my fat ass down. But anyway, so I write it down, and then I see a little place to sit the square of paper. Slip. And then they're really good there, like fast. For running back and forth and ducking so you see the film.
Efficient.
And then I was riveted to the movie, and it was I give the experience it's a little pricey. A little
it is.
Expensive.
You pay for the convenience.
But I mean, but overall, it was pretty good. But then I was told by my mother-in-law that this Cobb Theater is better than the Alamo.
Cobb is, you're not going
to
have your
in-seat
service.
You go to like
service.
5 million movies, so I'm curious what it is.
Cobb has not got the in-seat service, but they've got a great concession stand. They do have real food that you can order there. They've got a lounge. They've
see,
got a bar.
To me, and
you
I
can
said
bring
this,
beer into the theater
yeah,
there.
Yeah, but see, I said this to my mom. I'm my mother-in-law. I said, I am very, very comfortable with the idea of going into the theater, especially if you get there before the credits start.
That's the way to do it.
And ordering your chow as opposed to having to stand in a concession line.
And Alamo also does a better job of pre-show stuff. It's not all just previews. They have classic cuts from YouTube and stuff like that that relate to the film. They do a really nice job there. But I will say the Cobb is the
it's
place.
Really nice. You know, it's like you got the shrimp po' boy, you got a Diet Coke, you got a great movie, and a it was fantastic. It was really, really
from
fantastic.
That guy that was in front of you.
Yeah, yeah. He was really nice,
Mike. That's why they say
he was really, really nice.
That's why they say you'll remember the Alamo.
That's it. But anyway,
the Cobb was the site of one of my all-time greatest drunks that I didn't realize was happening.
Oh, when you drank the large beer.
Well, it was. I didn't realize it was a triple bock, and I just kept reordering them, and it was during a screening of an Elvis movie, and by the time Elvis sang Mary in the Morning, I was literally crying because it was so pretty. And Carrie said, why are you being like this? And I looked at the menu, and I realized I had drunk the equivalent of a case of beer while I was sitting there.
Well, I give it a total thumbs up. Go see it. You will enjoy it. If you're looking for terror... No, you know what terror is, and I still measure all movies?
Yeah.
Silence of the Lambs is terror.
Because it's mental.
That is terribly frightening. A clown with, like, crazy graphics that has all sorts of, like, bug teeth coming out of his mouth, that doesn't scare me as much.
I hear from a lot of people there's some real solid laughs in it.
It's a funny, it's the kid, the cast is...
Man, I gotta go.
Think Stranger Things. It's got that kind of cast.
Oh, I like that.
It's really, really good, and I will tell you one last thing, and this is maybe a spoiler alert.
Okay.
Right?
Turn down here.
Don't ruin it for us. It's the first weekend.
All right. It's FKN. All right. That's what I want to leave you with. FKN. This is not a spoiler alert, Oscar.
FKN.
When you go see it this weekend, and now you're both going to be in the theater, and if you go see it this weekend, you're probably going to laugh out loud, okay?
Right. Okay, good.
FKN stands for Fat Kids Nipples.
Sorry. And we have a name for the show.
There you go.
All right, very good.
Let's get to know our friend at KCJJ, Steve Bridges. Did you know that Steve has been on the air since 1965? That's nearly 100 years. He is a member of the Iowa Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He got the nickname Captain Steve when he served at Pearl Harbor. Steve invented the phrase, the 10th caller wins. He wears glasses, not for vision, but only to make himself look smarter. Steve played Mickey in the popular 1950s show Circus Boy. His cartoon-styled voice inspired the character of Joe Rockin. And he owns and operates the Mighty 1630 KCJJ, the terrestrial flagship broadcast home of the Mike O'Mara Show since 2009, which happens to be the best show on KCJJ. Thank you, Steve, and thank you, KCJJ. You are the best.
1630 KCJJ.
The best of O'Mara.
I've been dying to tell you about my weekend. I had one of the greatest weekends I've had in a long time because the centerpiece of the weekend was T-ball.
So many wonderful pictures.
Oh,
wonderful pictures this weekend. Mike, loved it.
Was it everything you thought it would be? Because you've been to it through it before with your girls.
Right.
It was everything I thought it would be. It was fun. I'm such a feeb. I'm so broken down. But I don't care. I jumped in. You know, I wasn't a coach, but I jumped into
it. Of course you did.
Helped the coaches because I'm a type A and I wanted to do that. Let me tell you the... Carl and I are very, very similar with... and you guys, you've seen
in
this
in looks,
too.
I know.
Thank you. Thanks, Sheck.
But she's not going to Melons.
Melons. What's Thornton Melons?
You're going to Big and Tall.
Hey, I'm brand new Hindenburg line.
Oh,
since I have to get a suit. God, Oscar looks good in a suit, Rob. We don't look good in suits.
No, I require black magic and willing, witchcraft.
I would be willing to discuss our wardrobe. Like, if you'd want to monitor, let the boy put a suit on. But I mean, it's just a thought. But yeah, I know you've already thought about it. Are you wearing some sort of clown suit, like with a leopard skin tie or something like that? What are you doing?
I'm wearing the suit you saw at the funeral, but with a more festive tie.
Okay. All right. All right. Very good. Anyway, we'll talk about it.
No animal prints this year, Mike.
The clown suit might be in act two.
Yeah, you're right. I understand.
I don't want to come out too zingy and sort of offset the reveal.
Not so much zany at the front.
That's right. Zany in the rear.
So getting back to the whole thing, we arrive at T-ball. We're up early. We have to be there at 8:30. The game starts at 9 o'clock. We're going to meet the coach for the first time. He's going to get his uniform. He's going to get his hat. He's going to meet all the other kids. It's really, really exciting. And we're up. Like ridiculously early. Like we're up so early, we're more than prepared. It's silly.
How was the boy's mood the night before? Because I imagine he was almost uncontainable.
No, it wasn't that, because he's four and nothing, you know, you don't process things that way. Was he excited? He was excited when he got up in the morning, when he put on his helmet and he was holding his bat. I took a little picture of that. Carla and I have what would best be described probably as the same level of social anxiety. Where when you put us into a new situation, there's just enough anxiety to make us kind of snip, 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 sure. snip at each other. And that, you know, there's a wide variety of intensities. It can be extremely intense if something goes awry, or it can be on the low level and you don't even say anything. Well, I probably outdid her for the social anxiety.
So
here's the instruction.
If it bubbles over, you can't go towards the outsider. You have to attack from within. So you're natural targets for each other.
Naturally, going into this environment, which is the environment of the young parent, my anxiety level is elevated, okay? Because I know that it's like, well, who's your grandfather? Not his grandfather. Father. Father. But I didn't get that, fortunately.
Grandpa.
The thing is, so that we get one instruction. Carla has run point on this.
Good.
She takes this off of my plate. I do things like take him out to the field and practice with him. I do things like go along with them to get the equipment.
Okay.
She does all the logistics, all the emails, where he's supposed to be, what he's supposed to do, and she's great at it. And she does a really, really wonderful job. Here's what happens. The instruction we get is, and it's like one of these parks where you all have them in suburbia, where there are 35 different fields that are out there, and you arrive
diamonds,
and you get the diamonds everywhere. And the instruction was that the team will have orange shirts and black hats. That's going to be the orange and black kind of pumpkin Halloween color scheme is what it's going to be.
Are they called? Is the team called the Mac Macintoshes?
No, it's not, but thank you for that. I know you care. And so we arrive at the field, and there's a team with black jerseys on one field, and then off in the distance I see black hats and orange jerseys.
Ah. Mm.
And suddenly as we get closer, I'm like, oh my gosh, those are... And I'm looking, and these kids are like redwoods. These kids are... And I'm like, this is... He's too young. Because we're kind of sneaking him
in
young anyway.
They'll redshirt him for kindergarten and they'll put him up for sports.
We're doing
the opposite.
Yeah. All comes out in the wash.
It's T-ball. Give him a head start. Give him a head start. Come on. So I see and
play
I see
with
these
the
kids,
big boys.
And I immediately without thought go into hyper anxiety mode.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, great. Okay, we've got this must be the way they grow them down in Florida. Look at the 6'2", 5-year-old that's down here.
That one kid's this Dominican, he's 13.
Yeah. I'm watching Dora the Explorer.
And let me play the sound.
Everyone's
this
lying
is the
about
sound.
The age.
This is the sound immediately, with no waiting. Carla's not doing this, by the way. This is all me. Let me play the sound of my anxiety.
It just goes.
And I start saying, I said, Carla, did you? And I'm in course. I said, did you check the ages for this? Did you know? Is he? I mean,
did
I know
you?
We're bringing him in young. She's like, calm down. I'm like, well, did you see these kids? And I'm really, and within probably 6 minutes, I realize it's a totally different little league team. It's a totally different.
It was tackle football.
By the way, we were first. We were first. So
okay, all right.
So then it's like, I said, well, what field? She said, well, it's field number one. And I look like, and I point at the backstop where the number one is on the back of this field. But this is how I do this. Okay, she said, what field are we on? She said, I think it's field number one. 800 question marks right afterwards. And I point at the backstop. I hope this translates on video. I'll show you how I do it. I point at the backstop and I go, you know, and because so
a
I'm
total
really,
lack of containment of frustration and
I'm just
pointing.
Nervous. I want to meet the coach.
What's
I want to see
Michael
the other kids.
Doing during all this nervous
He's
energy.
He's being four and just like la la la. You know, I wish I could be like
Can
that.
You imagine?
You know?
Yeah.
You know, it's,
Daddy's melting down again. I'm gonna shut this out.
He's
in my
all
mind.
Daddy and dandelions.
Daddy was trying to gather himself. Daddy did gather himself prior to the other kids arriving because I just said, I psyched myself into it. I said, just go zen. Just do it. This is nothing big.
Zen.
But Daddy, this is my only son. This is my first son. This is the first sport that, you know, outside of the private hockey coach thing that he's got there. And by the way, he's got practice tonight, and then he's got hockey practice tomorrow afternoon. So we're all in on this. I love this. I'm sorry.
Sure.
You know, keep a boy in sports, as Ray Nicoletta said to me.
Right.
Keep a boy in sports and keep him out of courts.
You are always talking to Ray Nicoletta.
Coach Nicoletta. Coach Ray Nicoletta.
Mike, any hot moms outside of your wife, clearly?
Hold on. We'll get to that in a second. Did I mention that I met Coach Grogan from at my high school reunion? My baseball coach from high school came to the reunion. It was like one of the greatest moments.
You did mention that. He said he looked the same.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was cool. It was very cool.
Ageless.
So the other kids arrive, and the coach arrives, and the coach is chill.
How old is the coach?
The coach, 30s.
Okay, so not a kid.
Maybe almost 40,
a dad,
35,
likely a dad.
36.
Great shape.
What's a normal? They're all in better shape.
Like
than
a V-back, muscles.
Sure.
There were some
rippling
fatties.
Muscles.
There were fatties and uggos, Oscar. There were fatties and uggos.
And those were the two teams that played, right?
The fatties and the uggos.
Yeah.
And I get there and the dads start arriving and I am not feeling any level of inadequacy whatsoever. I'm actually feeling quite
good.
Normal. And I meet a dad who I'm chatting with, and this dad works in this area of retail where he has to work. And I suddenly kind of got into that. I said, "Oh, is this tough for you? I know these Saturday and Sunday are your days." So it's like, and I hit it off with him, and we chatted for a good long time. You know, the other parents there were. There was a dad there that took charge before the coach got there, got the kids organized. My job was to line them up prior to batting. They all line up and back at one another when they're going to hit off the tee. And each team goes through once and then goes through another time.
The guy that took charge before the coach got there, that obviously was a very proactive guy.
Yes.
He was young and super fit.
By any chance, did he sound like Darren McGavin?
Pumpkins is yes. Line up over here. Yeah. Hey, slugger. Oh, hey, how you doing,
don't
slugger?
Disappoint.
There you go. You wanna bat off the tee? Off the tee. Show pumpkins. Thank you.
Aren't you gonna go out to eat?
We are going out to eat. So, Darren McGavin, I will get more lines from
that show. As the holidays approach.
The official, that is the official holiday impression of our new fall season. Yeah.
My Darren McGavin goes from the movie The Natural, to A Christmas Story, to 500-year-old movies.
Get on Netflix and watch some Call Check the Night Stalker.
Yeah, I lost that one, but I ruined the guy in the next deal. I'm lining the kids up to bat.
Right.
And that was my job. And that is the definition of kitten wrangling.
Yes. Tough stuff.
But I put my little guy gave him some Big League Chew, and then I put some eye black under his eyes, and they were it was as adorable as anything. And then they get up and they all hit the tee and not the ball, you know. And
so the ball falls off the tee.
So the ball falls off the tee, and then when they make contact with the ball, they still hit a lot of tee, but they hit the ball too, and then it goes out in the field, and then they run. And the most and this is the greatest moment if you ever have a tee baller. The greatest moment is when they hit the ball and you see them run to third base. That is
oh, they
truly
go the
special,
wrong way.
Oh, they run everywhere. They're running all over the place.
We'll
they don't know
the
where
tape,
they're going.
Right.
Yeah. They don't know where the hell they're going.
We'll just
they're
mirror image the video.
Directions. Yeah, it's terrific.
I think if they hit the tee and the ball falls, it should count as a bunt.
There's no
Did
there
anyone
no outs.
Connect? Did anyone? Oh, a natural.
They all connected. I would say my kid's last at bat, he hit it into the outfield. It got
nice.
Through
wow.
on the ground, but it got through the row. And then when they hit the ball out into the field, they all collapse on the ball simultaneously, all these little guys. You know? And they were all cute kids. They were all wonderful kids. Every single one of the kids on my son's team is fantastic. So anyway, we'll take a break.
From American Public Media.
Yes, things are moving along at the Mike O'Mara Show app. Here's the latest news. Everybody's busy since the new update. Rob and Joe are baking their delicious homemade comedy biscuits. Oscar and Todd are out back behind the Tesla shucking corn and talking tech. Rob and Katie just finished whitewashing a fence in front of the Cake and Cookies broadcast shed. Gary Stein just sold a t-shirt, and Tony Perkins at his mercantile store is doing gangbusters. And Marcus Serta is making sweet love to Steve Mermelstein in the Omericast sex dungeon. Yes, it's all well at the app, especially with the new TMOS Live feature. Now you can stream the show live as it happens, and there's a classic TMOS at your fingertips 24/7. Make sure you download or update today. That's the news from the TMOS app, where everyone's phone is just a little bit smarter.
The best of O'Mara.
Let me move the Grand Marnier.
Why do you need to move the Grand Marnier?
It was sitting on top of Oscar's take.
Oscar's
Ladies and gentlemen.
Take.
And now, it's time for Oscar's take.
Oscar's take!
A review and comment on the news of the day that may or may not affect you, as only our Bolivian Bloviator can do it. The opinions expressed are solely Oscar Santana's and do not represent the views of the Mike O'Mara Show, its listeners, or the majority of right-thinking citizens of the United States. Now, Oscar's take.
Oscar's take!
Oscar?
Gentlemen.
Hi.
Katy Perry's birthday was Wednesday. Ellen DeGeneres posted an old picture of herself staring in disbelief and probably, a little bit of arousal at Katy's ample cleavage.
Mm.
She captioned it, "Happy birthday, Katy Perry. It's time to bring out the big balloons." In the picture, Katy is looking at the camera and smiling while Ellen's wife, Portia de Rossi, is cracking up. But a lot of people think it's inappropriate, especially given the laser focus on sexual harassment in Hollywood. Piers Morgan tweeted, "If a man made this joke, Ellen would lead the cries of sexist pig." Where does it end? What is your take, Oscar Santana?
Lighten up, everybody. Wow, enough about this BS.
Yeah, I thought I was going to have to get the paddles
Pierce,
for him.
You know what you're doing. Ellen likes the carpet. That's the joke, right? She knows. She came out decades ago. Of course.
I'm with him on this
one. Males and females. They'll stare at those globes. There's nothing better than a good pair of
Oh, well,
this is
Tony, you're going to be,
record.
Your fingers are going to be bleeding in post-show. Oscar, a new study found the biggest fashion turnoffs for men and women across 5 different age groups. And I feel like a lot of people are guilty of these things. Here's what women hate the most on men. I'll give you the whole thing and then you can comment
All right.
on it.
Please.
Teenagers, New Balance shoes. Women in their 20s, fedoras. Women in their 30s, music festival clothing. Women in their 40s, skinny ties. And women in their 50s, track pants or jogging pants. And here's what men hate the most on women. Teenagers, turtlenecks. Men in their 20s, henna tattoos. Men in their 30s, the dog filter on Snapchat, which I guess counts as fashion.
Yeah.
Is that where people make themselves
yeah,
look
like
a doggy?
I don't think it's cute.
Men in their 40s, leopard print. Men in their 50s, too much makeup. That's what people love and people hate. I'm not sure what's in
we
there for
still
you.
Still don't have a cure for cancer.
enough of this nonsense. Let's take that energy and focus on what we can solve to save lives.
I agree. I agree. And by the way, I also agree with that thing about Ellen. It's like everybody just take a pill. Right.
Like, how can you create or be funny anymore if everybody's going to write about it and say, if I did that, F you.
I'm only funny if I wear leopard print.
I mean, and I would also, I mean, just to go back on that a little bit, I would think the majority of men in America would feel the exact same way, peers. Sure. Right? I mean, it's like, come on.
He wants to
just
be in the papers.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Oscar, the rumors have come true. You're listening to Oscar's Take.
Oscar's Take. Ikat Sreoko.
Pretty good.
The rumors have come true. And look, there's never a Starbucks story I don't have.
You love it. That and Justin Bieber.
Starbucks really did roll out a new zombie Frappuccino.
Scared kids.
If they've got it Monday, we can have a taste test.
All right. Oh, yeah.
Like the unicorn Frappuccino earlier this year, it seems like the main appeal is how good it looks in Instagram photos, not the taste. The zombie Frappuccino, rectal and oral thermometer, the taste.
we only have time for punchlines.
the zombie Frappuccino has a caramel apple flavor that's getting mixed reviews already, but since you still want to try one, it went on sale yesterday, and it'll be available through Halloween. It's called the zombie Frappuccino, Oscar.
Fellas, you know how we all feel about the pumpkin spice.
Yes.
Right? We were inundated, especially during this time of year, outside of the pumpkin spice bonus package. We would say, and that's available on MichaelMaraShow.com.
Makes a great
bonus.
Gift.
That's what I'm talking about. I love that.
You know, the unicorn bit was kind of weird, but the zombie Frappuccino, even as an adult, and I have no kids, I would buy it, not to taste just for the show, just to get in the spirit of things.
Mm-hmm.
There's too much anti-holiday, anti-Christmas. I'm going to be offensive.
Yeah, all right.
Let's get into it. I want to see everybody walk around with these zombie Frappuccinos.
Yeah, that's good. I'm sure that's a positive priced. Oscar's take. Yeah. I like that. You're listening to Oscar's take.
Yes, you
did. Oscar's take.
Oscar, kids can all celebrate Halloween on Tuesday night because they're kids and they can get away with it. But you're an adult. Do you need to put on a costume and get hammered on Tuesday nights? Because they're really not ideal for that. Would you rather celebrate Halloween prematurely this weekend or weirdly late next weekend? That's the question. We found out one server that asked that very important question. The answer is 72% of people want to celebrate this weekend. The other 28% say, don't judge me, society, and would throw on a costume for a party on November 3rd or 4th. I say no. It's why we had our live show, because Halloween is over.
Over.
But this is not Mike's take. It's Oscar's take.
Oscar's take!
I would be remiss if I didn't mention that as an adult and as a fledgling alcoholic, we are.
Oh, I call bullshit there.
I am celebrating Halloween, and we're actually celebrating with Big O and Dukes. Mike, we have a Hordaween event at Fairwinds Brewing tomorrow at 3 p.m. Get out there if you can.
Oscar's
3 p.m. I didn't know that you were doing
it. It's day drinking, Mike. Day drinking as an adult. Yes.
3 p.m.
Yes.
You guys aren't getting old, are you? What are you doing 3 p.m. for?
Oh, no.
For God's sake.
Day drinking bed before Jeopardy.
Day drinking allows everybody to come out and drink heavily, and they either can get a hotel. Blackout,
or go to a Lyft,
and they can go out and party later on in the night if they want, or they can stay till close, whatever they can.
Will you be leaving the Big O and Dukes event and going to another party? That's the question. I
usually stay there till they tell me to leave, because that's the type of event it is, right?
Oscar will be like in some. What are you? What is your costume going to be?
It's a surprise. I'm going with Shannon as the couple's costume. You will see online, Mike.
I know what it is. Don't listen to everybody. Sexy podcaster.
I wish. No, but. Look, I think as a guy who knows this, they got his car vandalized last Halloween. Right.
Yeah. And by the way, did I ever apologize for that?
No, you didn't.
I'm sorry about that.
I think the rule of thumb is you go out the weekend prior, especially when it's a midweek, like a Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah, I agree.
Right. Rule of thumb.
Yeah, I think so.
As a Georgetown resident, it'll be M Street will be crazy Saturday night.
It will be crazy, and all our cars are going to be in paid garages, because if I have to pay for another dented hood because some yokel decided to jump up and down on mine,
I remember.
I'll have enough of that.
And by the way, if I did a Christmas Eve Christmas carol singing, make sure you better believe that Big O and Dukes would do a Christmas Day candle lighting. I mean, rest assured, you're listening to Oscar's take.
Oscar's take.
Oscar, a 20. I should have gotten that. That would have been funnier if I did it the other way. If I did a Christmas Day carol singing, Big O and Dukes would do a Christmas Eve candle lighting.
Exactly. That's what it is.
A 20-year-old woman named Shelby McDowell crashed a wedding in Palm Coast, Florida. This is the final item on Oscars.
All right. I hold in my hand the final item.
Let me start again.
Please.
A 20-year-old.
No, no. It's too early.
There we go.
Happy Friday, everybody.
Oh, no. Woo! Yeah!
Woo! Oh, my God. That bottle is as big as your head.
Camel coming.
Oh, man.
Yummy, yummy in your tummy.
You know what? That'll fight off the scurvy.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
I'll tell you, before noon, that kind of makes you want to vomit. All right, here we go.
Hey, you got your day drinking in before Big O and Dukes. Good job.
Day drinking.
A 20-year-old woman named Shelby McDowell Oscar crashed a wedding in Palm Coast, Florida last weekend. Why? Because her boyfriend was invited and she wasn't. Oh. And she suspected that he was cheating on her.
Oh.
So here's what Shelby did. Shelby wore a wig, snuck into the wedding, and she did see her boyfriend kissing another woman. She was so mad that she ran up and punched the woman, and then she hid in the bathroom.
Nice!
The bridesmaids found her in there, pulled her out of the stall by her feet, and started beating her. The cops came, and Shelby wound up getting arrested for battery. That's, you know, what's your take on that one?
Yeah. I think she already knew something was going on if she knew that she had to go to this wedding, right? Because the idea that you don't, and I just went through this.
Wedding show.
About plus ones. Plus ones could be grenades. Grenades to a wedding. My girl's little brother brought a grenade to the wedding, right?
Right.
And luckily somebody fell on it because we had to figure out there wasn't that much collateral damage.
Right.
Now, this girl showing up and then finding another girl, I almost give her credit. Now, the beatdown afterwards, probably not a good look for her. A lot of bruises and the wedding was ruined. But overall, the idea that she smoked him out, it's a big win in my eyes.
That's it, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Oscar. That's Oscar's take.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.